And we are continuing an interview with Commander Albert D. Stump, S-T-U-M-P-F-F. And we're just continuing right back up just a little bit and continue on from the other side.
I've been around a few years now, the ropes too. He was a good egg, Lee Baker was. I liked him. But he and the skipper didn't.
He and Warner Thompson didn't get along.
No, not Thompson, Hymer. Thompson left them. Hymer came out there, and geez, it was bad. Warner Thompson, I was with him twice, too. I was with him down in Galveston, then down in San Pedro.
Did Baker and Thompson get along, Murray?
Oh, yeah. When Thompson died, we were at sea, and Jack John Crowley, he was on the...
Were you with Warner K. when he died?
No, he had gone to Alaska. He left the ship and gone up to Alaska.
Uh-huh.
He drank himself to death. Oh, he was a terrible drinker.
I heard that. But
he wasn't terribly. He was a good skipper, but I went in one day to settle an argument just before the ship went on the cadet cruise.
What year is this now?
That was back in '32. That wasn't on the Itasca. That was on the Saranac down Galveston. I asked him to settle an argument, and he said, sit down and have a cup of coffee. So we sat there and had a cup of coffee, and A.G. Hall, the exec, used to kid me about having a drag with the old man. I was scared the old A.G. Hall come in when I was sitting having a cup of coffee with the old man, but he didn't. Oh, a lot of fond memories. My career in the Coast Guard, I was just two officers that I had a little trouble with. One turned out to be a good friend, after all. He said to me when the exec was a chief gunner, deaf as could be, and he said to him, how much money we got in the supply allotment? I was down Galveston with small boats. Well, I knew it right off the bat, so I told him, and he said, I didn't speak to you. I speak to you, I'll mention your name. So a couple of days later, he and I were the only two in the office, and I'm typing away, and he said something, and I didn't answer him. He spoke again, and I didn't answer him. He said, stop, did you hear me? I said, yes, sir, but I didn't hear my name. Wait. So then later he came out to Wilmington when I was there, and he saw me and he said, don't I know you? And I said, I don't know whether you know me or not. He took off my hat. He said, yeah, I know you. I hope they didn't spoil a damn good chief yeoman by making him a paper. We had a long time after that. I had lunch with him that day, and then when I came back from overseas, he was still there, and I had dinner again with him.
You joined the Itasca in October 36?
November.
November.
I think it was November.
It was in San Diego at the time?
Yeah. She just came from Honolulu. She was just assigned to San Diego then.
And
that's when Kenner brought her over. And when Thompson relieved her, he went back to Honolulu.
Do you remember where Warner K. Thompson came from?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was a full commander then.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know where he came from there. I had left him in '32 on the Saranac. She was going to make the cadet cruise down south and South America. And the reason I left, I swapped. Because my wife, I was having our first child, would have had during that trip, and her mother just died and her brother just died. And she was pretty low, so I arranged to get off the ship.
Well, now, so Warner was the captain, Thompson, and Lee Baker was the executive officer then.
Baker came there. Oh, dear. I don't think, Baker wasn't the executive officer. Baker wasn't there when Thompson was there.
Yes, on the Line Island cruise, on the Amelia Earhart cruise, they were. Lee Baker was the executive officer.
Yeah, I don't remember. As I say, I'm not too accurate either.
You've been you're very accurate, 41 years. Now, you were chief yeoman, but you missed that cruise.
Yeah.
Because,
I'd had my appendix taken out, and I come back to the hospital in San Francisco, down to San Diego, and I had some sick leave. And my sick leave was up. I went down to the ship and reported to Mr. Baker, and he said, how do you feel? I said, okay, except I'm a little bit tired. I get tired pretty easy and kind of weak. Well, he said, we're going to San Pedro for a couple of days for a yacht regatta, patrol a regatta up there. He said, go on home and stay home for the next two, 3 days. Whenever we come back, he will call you and let you know, and you come back then. Well, she went to San Pedro, and there she got sent to the Earhart group. I never, I didn't see the ship for
3 months,
more than that, but couple, at least a couple of months.
Okay, now, that same thing happened to Stocksville.
Did it?
Yeah, he was on leave, and he came back to San Diego, and the ship was up at San Pedro. So he telephoned up to San Pedro and said, shall I come up there? And the guy said, hey, we just got a gram. We're heading for, you know, and if I were you, I would just go report in tomorrow to your dock down there where you report in, and could, otherwise you're going to be stuck out at sea for 6 weeks. And he said, goodbye, I never called, and hung up. And so he missed the cruise, too. And they sailed quite shorthanded, and especially in the higher ranks. I mean, in the really, like the Chief Yeoman, you know, boy, you really need. And, of course, the axe fell in because of all the paperwork that had to be done, all the reports and whatnot, which I'll show you some of them.
Well, I came in, as soon as she came back from the cruise, I reported in.
At San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been about the 1st of August.
I don't
know. Somewhere in that area. Yeah, that's all right. Now, getting back to some of the officers on the ship, and I just want the details. Now, at that particular time, Bill Swanston was navigator.
I guess so. I don't.
And you know how the junior officers were assigned certain duties, and they kind of worked their way up, learning how all the different divisions work. It was part of the training. And at that particular time, Sutter, Bill Sutter, do you remember Sutter?
Oh, very well.
Did he have it? You called him Dutch.
Well, that was his nickname. I didn't call him Dutch, but
you call him Mr. Sutter, but or whatever. But Dutch was his nickname in the officer's wardroom, as far as.
Well, as far as I was nicknamed the academy, and then I was with him. Well, I was with him then, and then he and I were in the same division during the war. I was on a different ship. He was skipper of a ship during the war. He was a lieutenant commander then, and I was a lieutenant. Then, later on, he came to the district office. He was communication officer, and I was pay officer, finance officer, and every once in a while I'd find a note on my desk. He had been married and divorced. I'd find a note on my desk, Dear Al, I made a speed run last night, need 20.
Okay, now, Jeff Sutter, on that particular time on the Itasca, was assigned to be communications officer. And Mellon, I believe, was gunnery officer.
I don't remember that. They were both ensigns and...
Right, and they took the junior...
Yeah.
Somebody had to be gunnery officer, had to be communications officer, and Bill Swanston was a lieutenant JG at the time.
Yeah.
And do you remember his nickname at all, if he ever had
one? No, I don't know if he had one or not.
And then down in the below decks was Braswell and Stocksville.
Yeah.
Stocksville was taking over from Braswell.
Yeah.
But Braswell got stuck with the duty because Stocksville disappeared on leave. And I'll have to try and find some of the other people. One thing, while they were in San Pedro, they did a general court-martial because at San Pedro they didn't have enough officers to do it. And so the ship, while it was up there doing that yacht race, stayed over and did a general court-martial on a chief boatswain's mate, I believe, by the name of Wilson. Do you remember that at all?
No.
Well, you wouldn't have typed up the report.
No, I wasn't there. And somebody, whoever took the court, would have to type it up.
And that would have been your yeoman first who eventually committed
suicide. Would have been me if I'd have been there, but...
the yeoman first took over your duties in...
Well, I suppose he did. I don't remember who was my yeoman first.
That was the fellow who committed suicide.
Oh, yeah, Jack Allen.
Jack Allen. Well, now... do you remember any little incidents about either Sutter, Swanston, or Mellon, or Braswell in your relations with them, or Hines, or Butcher,
Butcher. Reginald Butcher.
Just talk in general. So I can make real people out of them.
Well, I told you about... the incident, they said, you mentioned
Mellon.
Mellon, yeah. Luffy Ruffles, I thought of it. I got that out of the academy book that Thompson, Commander Thompson, gave me to read. And No, there's not much about Sutter that I know. I know him real well.
Now, he was Division Communications Officer later on?
In the district, yeah.
Which district was that?
12th District.
The 12th District?
San Francisco, yeah.
So he really knows communications then, doesn't he?
He should.
And if...
I didn't know he had been divorced, as I say, and I didn't know he was married again. And I had my son. We were at TI one day, and it was starting to rain. We were just leaving. It was starting to rain, and here was old Sutter with some woman and a bunch of new bedding and stuff. And they were standing there waiting for a bus, so I stopped. I said, "Come on, I'll take you home." He said, "Well, I never worked directly under him, so with me, he was always very friendly, always."
Seemed to be fairly even.
And so was Mellon. And Swanson, if I remember right, Swanson had the canteen for a while on the ship, and I was canteen yeoman. I wasn't supposed to take it, but they had some trouble, and the chief's job, but I took it. And Butcher was a nice guy, like there was a bunch of stuff coming aboard. Well, I mean, canteen yeoman ordinarily would carry, but he'd have a couple of seamen carry it down for me. Things like that. I always got along fine with Mr. Swanson. Swanston.
Yeah.
And Crooks, of course, I never... Hines, I never had too much to do with him, because he was a chief gunner. I never had any trouble. Well, I never had much trouble with any of them, frankly.
Speaks well for yourself.
Pretty good. Hines, I never did forgive him for one thing, though.
What's that?
I had a cigarette lighter, and I was sitting there flipping it one day, and he said, "I bet you, Buck, you can't make it light 20 times. I said, "That's a bet." I flipped it 20 times. He never did give me the buck. I used to write him.
I'll write him a letter and tell him to send you a dollar.
he never did give it to me.
He welched on his bet, huh?
Yeah. I don't know why, but he did.
You remembered that, didn't you?
No, because I razzed him about it just after, and I always tell him he owed me a dollar.
Well, now, on the Itasca, the chief's quarters were up forward. Way up in the forecastle, weren't they?
No.
No?
Midships. Right about...
Midships?
Yeah.
Well, the engine room now was the midships.
Yeah, and we were up over the engine room. We were right back of the forecastle, right back of the mess deck.
Right after the mess deck.
Yeah,
on the
side.
That was all the chief's quarters.
Of course, the mess deck was in the center of the ship.
Yeah.
And we were just a little aft in the, on the port, on starboard side.
On the starboard side.
Yeah, as I remember.
All right, now, did you share a room or did you have a bunk room of your own?
No, we didn't, not now, they have them now, but they didn't then. I think there were 12 bunks in there.
And that was for chiefs only. Mm-hmm. How about Leo Bellars, who was a watchkeeper? Of course,
he was a chief radio man. He didn't stand any watches.
Okay.
The only people that stood watches in there was the three chief machinist mates. They stood watches, but the chief commissary steward didn't, and the chief...
Did they sleep in the chief's quarters?
Yeah, yeah.
And they just woke them up and went out
chief
and they were quiet
to
wake everybody else up.
And chief quartermaster, all the chiefs did and slept in there.
Well, other than the chiefs, they had regular watch standards quarters that were separated from the rest of the crew.
For some of them, yeah.
So that, like, the radio man and the machine guy, going on the 4 to 8 watch and whatnot, so they wouldn't wake everybody up.
They were more or less... As petty officers, first class and then second class and so forth.
Okay, and they were segregated from the regular deck crew
and not
watch standards. Mm-hmm. Did you have your own mess, chief mess?
Yeah.
You had a separate chief's mess then?
Well, we ate the same as the crew ate, but we had a mess boy that brought our food down, set on the table, and he took care of the quarters.
He didn't go through the line like the rest of the crew.
No. We just went in and sat down, and he brought it on down to us.
I see.
Were
you in the main mess hall, mess room?
No, we were. The chief quarters had their
table right in the
chief's quarters. There was a table in there for each.
You had your own little wardrobe then?
Yeah. And sit there and play cards at night and so forth. And a mess boy to serve it. Of course, we always used to give him a buck a month. Each one of us give him a buck a month extra for his fee.
This would be one of the Filipino boys.
No, generally a white boy.
Well, now you had quite a few Filipino boys in the picture. What was...
Cabin steward and...
I'm just watching. This isn't running out.
The captain steward and the cook. And then the warrant officers had a steward and a cook. And then the wardrobe had the rest.
Okay.
I can see those guys. I can't remember their names to save my life. Valdano was one of them. I don't know where he'd ever be.
But you gave the mess boy for the Chiefs, each of you gave him $1.
You gave him a book, yeah.
Quite a bit of money, really.
About $12, $13.
A little something extra?
Yeah.
Okay, and now how about the chief? How about the warrant officers? Now, where was their bunk room?
Well, they were right.
Excuse me, were you just below the weather deck?
We're right up the Oxford mess deck, and that upside would be the top side.
Okay.
And the ward officers were on the port side, just after the wardroom on the side.
So they were just opposite you then?
Yeah.
On the starboard side?
Well, they were forward of us, please.
A little forward.
Yeah. They were right back of the wardroom on the port side, and the wardroom was up forward of the mess deck and forward of the ship's office.
Well, now, did they have...
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. One room for all of them, or did they have individual...
They had a separate place to eat, and then they had their own boardroom bunk.
They had their own bunk room?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Each one had its own little quarters of some kind.
As I remember it, yeah. It's
a long ways back, and a lot of ships in between.
Yeah, like during the war, the skipper didn't...
Just after the chief's quarters and just after the engine room was where the wardroom galley was, and then the wardroom. And it went clear across the ship.
No, the galley was on the top side. The galley was on the top side.
Even the officers?
Yeah, they didn't have a separate galley. They were all cooked in the same place.
Same place, yeah.
Stewards cooked it. For the wardroom, the stewards cooked for the skipper, and the stewards cooked for the... Well, no, the skipper, did he have a...
Well, they had a little officer's pantry.
Yeah, they did. And there was a wardroom pantry. That's right. I'm wrong.
Okay. And then...
I'm thinking of... But... It mixed up during the war. They were all together during the war. But that's right. They had their own... I don't know if the warrants had theirs or not.
Whether they had a little pantry or not.
I can't remember.
Okay, but the officer's wardroom went clear across the port ship, clear across the ship, from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And then but where were the officer's quarters? They were up above. They were up above the wardroom. The wardroom was almost two stories high. I mean, two decks. And
the officers were around the side of the wardroom.
But higher, at a different level.
Well, the exec, his was forward on the port side, just after where the cabin was, of course, you see. The cabin was up forward. Then there was, the chief engineer was across from him on that side of the wardroom.
There was about
three...
Staterooms.
Yeah.
Is that a correct name?
Staterooms. Pardon?
Stateroom, is that what you call it?
Yeah, uh-huh. It was three or four there, and I can't recall exactly how many. Then back, on the left side, back of the wardroom, was where the warrant officers were. There was no connection between them and the wardroom, but they were right at that position. And also, the clothing locker was in there somewhere down below.
Yeah, the munitions locker was down underneath there, too, I believe.
Yeah, well, I don't remember where that was. Yeah, I remember where it was. That was on the starboard side.
Well, now, then... The captain's quarters, Commander Thompson's quarters, was just aft of that, and he had the whole aft end of the ship there until he got back to the steerage locker. But his quarters were really quite spacious.
Now,
he took his meals back there, and as I understand it, he could have a guest in his quarters if he wanted. But Commander Thompson normally didn't want anybody in his. I guess it's because of his drinking. He didn't want, if he wanted to have a few drinks before he went to sleep, he didn't want anybody to know he was.
He said to me one day, one morning, I've been drinking all night long. How do I look? I said, well, your eyes look like two piss holes in snow. One time his mother was down there, but his wife stayed in Mobile. She never come over. His mother came down there one time to visit him, and she said to him, Warner, are you as lousy a writer as you ever were? He looked at me, said, am I, chief? I said, you haven't improved a damn bit, Captain. Another time, he, Don Galveston, he had a, an invitation to some swank affair. He didn't want to go, so he handed me the invitation. You see that? I said, yeah. He said, you write a refusal to that invitation. I said, well, I'm a lousy writer, too. He was a terrible writer. I can show you his writing. He said, I'm a lousy writer, too. You're better than I am. So I had to write a letter. And I wrote a letter declining the invitation. And he said, again, that's a masterpiece. And then right after that, I was transferred. So I don't know what the hell he did for his invitation after I...
Well, funny thing about alcoholism, you know, it's...
Well, he drank. That's what killed him.
It just, once they get hooked, they just, like, I guess it's just like dope or something.
Whiskey.
They can't let go of it.
He drank vodka whiskey, too, Gene. I thought the world of Commander Harper. I was very fond of him, but I felt sorry for him, but I couldn't tell him anything about it, of course. He died up in Alaska. Lieutenant Crowley came to me when we were at sea. He threw the messages on my desk, and he said, there, your friend is gone. I said, who? Read it. And it was Commander Thompson who just died, and they sent an all-coast, what they call an all-coast note. Everybody got it.
He died at sea, did he?
No, he was up in the Alaska district somewhere in Alaska. I forget, it was Juneau or somewhere, and he died up there.
Do you remember what year it was, or even see if we can tie it down?
Well, it would have to be... I went on the I in 36, and I left her in 39. So probably about either 38 or 39, I couldn't...
Can you think of anything that might tie it down?
No.
You were with Crowley at the time.
Yeah, John Crowley. He was a jack, and I think, I don't know, who was skipper then, Heimer?
Now, was that on the Itasca?
Uh-huh.
You were still on the Itasca at that time. This is your complete record of your... I've got it on now.
All the time I was in the service, yeah.
Well, how long had Thompson been drinking, anyway?
Oh, I don't know. As long as I knew him.
When did you first serve with him?
Well, here it is. On Saranac, Galveston. I can tell you pretty close. I can't tell you that. He was on the Saranac, but they made you at the headquarters, and they brought him up. There's no signatures in here. But I was with him. I went on the Saranac in 1930. And who was skipper? He's retired and lives in... Then I got off in 32. And I think Thompson came around in 31. That was 31. Then I transferred to San Pedro. Well, Chalker was a skipper of the Saranac.
Well, you know, today, we treat alcoholism as a disease.
There's W.K. Thompson's signature. That's the top.
Well, it's...
Nobody can make any W.K. Thompson out of it.
Probably all in there somewhere.
Oh, but just a bunch of... That's that. I watched it too many times.
And Roger C. Heimer took over afterwards.
Yeah, then. Heimer relieved him, yeah.
Did you deal with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't make it more until the war.
Well, before the war, it was a different kind of Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure, they expanded it in the war, I guess.
Well, he just drank straight whiskey then with a water chaser or whatever.
I don't know what he had.
Whatever was handy.
I don't know what he did. I know he drank rock out of whiskey. That was a report. I didn't.
He asked you how his eyes looked, huh?
Yeah.
And you told him it looked like what?
Two piss holes in the back of snowbank.
Well, you must have known the ground you were standing on in order to have said that.
I can tell.
He asked your honest opinion.
Well, another guy was on there, I think. Fitzvetrick was on there too, but he's dead.
Well, Warner K., whatever was bothering him, what nobody knew what it was, whether it was a bad marriage or whether it was his career had gone pretty well. He was full commander then.
Oh, yeah, and his son made commander. Oh, Thompson, if he hadn't drinking, he would have gone up high. He would have made admiral, no question about it, because he was a good, capable skipper. But he was always... They had a guy there, machinist mate, named first, second class, named Fisher. One day we were having, it was rough weather, and we were having abandoned ship drilled at sea. But you just take your station, and here's old Fisher reporting. Of course, I just followed the skipper around to take his notes. Get to the engine room, yeah, here's Fisher standing there with no life jacket on. Thompson said, Fisher, you must be a damn good swimmer. That was kind of the guy he was, I think, like that. He didn't jump all over me, just...
Well, he ran a pretty pot ship.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he was a good skipper. He was... Oh, you didn't...
But he was a loner, and he didn't share his command.
No, he was very much of a loner.
You know...
Another thing he used to do, we'd be at sea. He loved his chiefs, let me say that. He loved the chiefs were the apple of his eye. If you were a good chief and knew your job and took care of it. We'd see, he'd pull into San Diego, supposedly take on water, so stay about 4 or 5 hours. He'd let 3 or 4 of the chiefs go ashore, be back in such a time. Some of the officers would love to go. More officers would love to go. He would let them go, the chiefs. And one night we were laying in Catalina. The chiefs was a pretty rough night, too. We were anchored. Time the income tax report was due. That was the last day. I'm taking a shower. Here come the messenger. Says, the captain wants you about 8 o'clock. I said, well, tell him I'm in the shower. I'll be there in a few minutes. So I got through the shower and I went in. And see me, captain? Yeah. He said, you see this? I said, yeah. He said, it's my income tax report. He said, you're going to take it ashore. Take it to the post office and see it stamped. Before midnight. So I had to crawl into my small boat. Oh, geez, it was rough going in that small boat. I didn't like that too well. But he told me to stay there all night. I had a place to stay. And I said, yeah, I had plenty of places to stay. So I stayed with a friend of mine who's retired, lives back in Georgia now. And I took it up to the post office, saw it stamped. And I came back the next morning. He told me, if we're gone in the morning, we're not here, just stay right there. We'll come back and pick you up. I wasn't logged off the ship at all, you see. I just thought I was right aboard. But they were there, so I went back this morning and set a boat in for me. But that's kind of a guy he was. I think I stood pretty good with him, frankly. I'm not standing egotistically, but I think I didn't stand with him because I tried to do my job. And
can you remember what went through your mind when you heard he died?
Yeah, putting your card. I loved it. I felt very close to Captain Thompson because I could go in and talk to him about this or that, and he'd say, sit down, talk things over. When he first reported aboard, he came out the chief's quarters and said, geez, you fellas haven't got any radio here, have you? No. Well, he said, as soon as mine comes aboard, he said, my personal one comes aboard, he said, you fellas can take the one out of the cabin and have it back here. Well, he was wandering around the ship, and the chief grabbed him, he'd aren't close, took it out right away. When he got back to the cabin, radio gone, he came back. Come back, once here, the old clothes had it frankly mounted already. Gee, I didn't tell you to take it right away, but it's all right. He went back off the radio to come aboard. That's kind of a guy. The chiefs, I say, were the apple of his eye. Then he wanted to had a short steward, and we had a chief captain made on there later on named Quick. We used to call him Not So Quick. He was slower than molasses in January. And Thompson told me he wanted to build a ladder for the steward to get up on high. So Chip's building a ladder, all right. Took it in. I was in the cabin. He went, here's the ladder you wanted, Captain. That's a masterpiece. Chips, he said, that's fine. Just what we wanted. Chips went out, took tickle to death. Took the steward and the captain and a couple more people lifted the damn thing. It was built so heavy out of heavy wood. Geez, it was all solid as could be. Only the stewards are little skinny guys. You know, there's nothing to them. He said to me, gee, he said, you and I could get up on that and dance around and wouldn't think of breaking. And Thompson, I thought the world of Commander Thompson. He was probably my favorite skipper.
How could you think you felt sorry for him because he was an alcoholic and that was, you know, stopping
him? I did feel sorry for him, but there was nothing I could do. He was his commander, and I was the chief, and I couldn't tell him, Captain, you shouldn't drink and so forth. But
wouldn't be good anyway.
No. I don't know whether married life. His wife lived in Mobile. She never did come to Galveston. I never met her.
She's still alive.
Uh-huh.
She lives in Arlington, Virginia. I've never met her either.
She's still alive. But she must be getting pretty well along, too.
Yeah.
His son, I don't know where he, whatever happened to him, he was in the Coast Guard. He was commander. I don't know if he retired or not.
I believe he's dead.
Dead?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Could be.
I think he's passed away. I'll look him up in the retired list. How old was same the age as you, Rand Thompson?
Oh, I think he's a little older than I. Just a little older.
I can tell you.
I don't know. I don't have it back that far. No, I couldn't say that. I don't have it back that far.
But you look, not just because he was an officer, but you believe he was older than you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I thought I had brought the books on, did I?
You gave me the register.
Yeah.
Looking for?
Yeah, there, I had a little blue one there.
That's right here. So you only get...
No, I don't want to give you that one.
No.
Yeah, that one. But I don't think he wouldn't be in there. That's 40, 49. No, he wouldn't be in there. No. And that's an old, that's a little older, but that's...
44.
Yeah, well, he was gone then. No, that wouldn't, I couldn't tell you.
Well, I could find out from the headquarters if I really wanted to know.
Yeah.
But he was somewhat older than you were.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, yes.
So probably, let's say he was 10 years older than you. And you were born in 96. So let's say he was born in 86. Then he would have been about 52 when he died.
Probably.
That seems about right.
It sounds about right.
He did.
Yeah, he was a lieutenant commander. Was he about the same age as Thompson?
Oh, I don't know. I would think probably a little bit younger.
A year younger. I could look all these things
I
up.
I think he was a pretty classmate of... Well, he's retired now, Admiral Hymer. I think they were pretty close together.
How did Thompson happen to get sent up to Alaska?
Well, I don't know. They transferred them around. And, of course, he was getting senior, pretty senior. So he probably rated a shore job. He was getting up there then.
See, was Juneau its own district in those days? Alaska its own district?
I think so. I think it was.
Wasn't just a section out of Seattle.
No, it may have been. I don't remember that. I don't, Commander. I don't know. I don't know that. I can't tell you.
But he was. I believe he was in Juneau when he died.
I think so. Yeah.
You remember any of the circumstances surrounding the death at all?
No, because we were at sea. See, I didn't get to, all I got was saw at the All Coast. I didn't see anything in the papers or anything about it because we were at sea at the time.
Well, you know. As we know now, alcohol really bothers the heart, and sclerosis of the liver, of course, is debilitating. I don't think that...
He smoked a lot, too.
He smoked a lot?
Yeah.
Cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what kind he smoked on? But he did smoke a lot.
Yeah.
Well, cigarettes and whiskey. Evidently, he didn't care much for the wild, wild women, but other than that...
No, he never. He stayed aboard most of the time, and in fact, I never knew him to go out. He didn't want to go to any social things at all. He told me that.
To him, why he couldn't...
I wrote the letter for him, so
yeah.
Why, it covered up and...
What sounded good to... Well, Baker, as executive officer, did he and Thompson get along well, or?
As far as they did, he didn't get along. He got along with Thompson. He didn't get along well with when Hymer came. They were the two close together, you see. I think they were almost classmates, or maybe a year. Maybe Baker might have been a year back with Hymer. I don't know. But they were close, and that was, Hymer was a, he's retired admiral now, he wanted in on everything. Like, I'd take a requisition in maybe for 1,000 gallons of paint. He'd say to me, how long is this paint going to last? Well, I don't know. And he'd ask me things like that, which I didn't know. I hadn't any reason to know and shouldn't know. I was the chief yeoman. I wasn't a supply officer or pay officer. So finally, one day, I said to Mr. Baker, I said, geez, I said, I hate to go in his cabin and sound stupid all the time. I told him, why? He's asked me this, how long this, what about that? And I said, I don't know those things. He said, you know what to tell him? Next time he asks you, say, see Mr. Baker. So I did. And the minute I did, he said, oh, you've been talking to Baker, have you? I said, yes, sir. So I told him why. Well, he didn't say more than that. He was, but I remember, I'd go in there in the pay office and say, I would pay you one. He'd say, goodbye. I'd get in the cabin, start talking. I bought a house down in San Diego. Well, he didn't believe in buying a house. I was easy to get along with. As far as I know, I wasn't an officer, but I assume that because...
Now, was Baker a competent, not, I don't mean incompetent, but was he an exceptionally competent officer? Or
well, I know that I couldn't judge because I wasn't an officer myself working with him, but I would say he was a very good officer.
Was he...
Funny one about Braswell. I think, who was Jack then? I think Kenner was. Anyway, a publication came out from ape to engineer. And it was all about how an ape, he developed and developed, his body learned how to take a tool in his hand. He said, geez, let's put this over in Braswell. So we went over and put it in Braswell's state room. Of course, Braswell got it, and he came to the office and said, did you put that in my room? I said, I don't think about it, Mr. Braswell. He knew that well, I did, but he just knew where it came from, too. Kenner was always really playboys, what they were. They were capable officers, but they were playboys, both of them.
Well, human beings. Well, Braswell,
he was a Mustang.
Did in relationship to the chiefs and or the warrants or people that, you know, sometimes people in command could be good officers and all that, but they treat everyone beneath them as if they were beneath them, and sometimes they don't. Frank Kenner didn't. Frank Kenner was, he was kind of one of the boys. He, even with the enlisted men, he was one of the boys.
I know. Wow.
And he was able to stay separate and be an efficient, well-liked officer. I guess it's personality. I take it Warner Thompson was not that sort of an officer. I take it that he stayed aloof and was a loner and had respect from everyone.
He was a loner from everybody, and he had respect of everybody, but he wasn't overbearing. I could go into him any time and talk to him.
He was a reasonable man.
As I say, he loved his chiefs. Now, how he got along with his other officers, other than their job, I don't know, because I didn't live in the wardroom where I didn't want to. But I know he loved his chiefs, and in fact, some of the time, some of the officers were a little envious, like when let's go ashore at San Diego. But Heimer was a lot like Thompson. He was aloof, too, but Heimer never got friendly, except when he would talk to my high finance men, because I was a chief yeoman. He's in a position to get fairly close to commanding officer. Because he does his work, I think you can understand what I'm trying to get at. He lots of times he writes personal letters for him. Some skippers dictate personal letters. Now, Thompson did. Thompson, right? When he wanted to put something over, he'd write 2 or 3 letters to different people at headquarters. I'd write them all, of course. He'd get them working with each other, and he'd get it over with. He was smart. But a chief yeoman gets closer to the skipper and the exec probably than any other chief petty officer on the ship.
Well, Jack Allen, when he went on this cruise, well, let's get back to, before going to that, let's get back to Braswell. Lee Baker, I take it, if I'm reading you right, somewhere in between Kenner and Thompson in personality. He was different than either one of the two.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
and somewhere in between.
Baker was all pretty much all business.
He was all business. And yet he wasn't standoffish.
No.
Like Thompson was. I mean, he had a rapport with men. Evidently, Thompson did not have this easy rapport with men.
Well, I don't know. He wasn't... kind of hard to explain. Thompson was a good skipper. He was thorough. He was efficient. He treated everybody very good, very well. He didn't never got rough on anybody, unless maybe you rated it. But Heimer would have been rougher. And Baker was like Thompson, I would say.
He tended more towards Thompson's level handed. Do you know if there was any, he was a good-looking man. Do you remember if he smoked during any Baker?
I don't
remember. How about Braswell? Anything you can... I'll tell you a story about Baker that I was told. Remember Leo Delarts, who was chief radio?
Yeah.
But what sort of fellow was Leo?
Well, he wasn't like... I'll put it this way. He wasn't well-liked at chief quarters.
He wasn't well-liked at chief quarters.
No, he was cheap.
Cheap?
We used to sell peanuts, brittle, in pound boxes. And you'd go out and buy one today or two, and I'd go and buy another day. But he'd never buy, but if he put fruits on the table, he'd come and help himself. So one day some guy jumped on him about it. So from then on, he'd buy a box, put it in his locker, he'd go and give a hunk and come out with it.
He'd buy his, but he wouldn't share, and he wouldn't.
Yes. So that really, he became sort of unpopular in the chief quarters.
Well, which meant that he didn't go out on liberty with you tearing up the town much.
Oh.
He went out on his own usually. Oh. Then.
Well, I think he was married when he was down there, and as I was. And those, the single guys went out, raised little hell, but the chief, the single war, well, that was done I get mixed up now, Galveston, and I was on the same, two of the same cutters, you see. The ITAS and the Saranac. In fact, the other night at the old timers night, the fellow was there that was gunner on the Saranac when I was there. We were together in 1930. And he went into the credit union the other day. My youngest daughter worked for the credit union. He saw her name on the desk. He said, "Are you University Al Stump?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm his daughter." He said, "I was your father 45 years ago." Prince, he's a retired chief gunner.
I know him. I know Prince. He lives over in
North here, Illinois. Lieutenant, he's retired lieutenant commander. Yeah, he and I were together on the Saranac.
Well, you didn't get along particularly with Leo then.
Well, I never had any trouble with him.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't
nobody
a buddy.
Ever, nobody ever had any trouble with him. He went buddy-buddy with the rest of us. He never sat down and played cards with us. He never mixed with us. He was just sort of a loner. And he had that one little peculiarity of being tight.
Well, that's...
When you're living together with... Well, there was 12 of us in there. When you're living together, you kind of become buddy-buddy and live together and share together. I had another... In 39, we made the Bering Sea Patrol on the Itasca. I decided I was going to read the Bible through. I had read it through once, and I decided I was going to read it again. And I did, and I got my picture worn out, falling apart. Chief Gunner's mate was quite a wine drinker, and I'd read a little bit, and I'd lay down my bunk, and two or three times I came in the quarter, and I saw, what's his name now? Well, anyway, he had picked up my Bible and reading it. Well, about a year after I got off the ship and went to the district, I got a Christmas card from him. He and his wife, and he said, "Dear Al, I can still see the star of the east, and I've treasured that because I figured it did him a little bit of good, my reading the Bible and him leaving it there and him picking it up." And I used to hold church services on the Gresham when I got off, when we were at sea on Sunday. We were in port, I did more at sea, I used to hold church services.
Can you remember Braswell, very well at all?
Oh, yeah, I was with him twice. Tom Galvin. I was with him when he reported aboard his Nelson down at St. Petersburg, base 21. And Brazzy was a grand guy. I thought a lot of him, but he was a windy guy, too.
He
like to talk. Yeah, he shot the bull a little bit, too. And he first reported in, why, he told when he left New London, how quick he got to Galveston, or to St. Petersburg. I don't know who was with us. I was looking at him. And he must have flown down, you know. He made it in 10 or 12 hours or something like that. He was a windy guy like that. But Bradley was a good head. He was a good engineer and a good eye like.